Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. This is Access Astrology on Monday evening, and we talk with you about astrology. We have a number for you to call in. You can also send in an email for things for us to look at and talk about. And we are three astrologers, two of us in New York, one in North Dakota. And I am Mark Waltz in Manhattan, New York City, over by the Hudson River. And we also have
Ann Ortley on the Upper East Side at my bright red desk. Enjoying winter.
You are. Wonderful.
I am.
This is Heather Rowan Robbins from North Dakota, and it's actually warmed up a little bit above freezing, so I'm enjoying it more now myself. Even though it's such an intense week. I'm appreciating the chance to thaw out a little bit while we deal with everything else.
Right.
Okay, above freezing. That's a heat wave.
Yeah, it is. We're dancing in the streets at 33 degrees. And my car, which got us to and from New Mexico, and it broke down two blocks from the house as Mercury turned direct. And one of the things that we talked a little bit about last week, but we hadn't seen the disaster that was just about to hit, that the earthquake hit in Haiti just as Mercury turned direction. And that often the moment that it's turning direct and the moment that it turns retrograde and turns direct, what it appears to hold still in the sky, because Mercury is so motion-oriented, those can feel worse than the actual retrograde period, where my car just stopped, and the communication system of a country that desperately needed to communicate stopped. Mm-hmm. And we see that now beginning to defrost, like the communication is starting to open up, the information is coming through, the supplies are just getting in as Mercury begins its forward motion. It was a really tragic example of, most of us have the luxury of being able to just sit still and be quiet if the phone is missing. We don't there. So we didn't there, and that was just a sad example of what it can do.
Right. Well, and also the day before Saturn stationed. When you guys get a little older as astrologers, there's a really cool book called Nicholas Campion's Book of World Horoscopes. And he's a history guy as well as an astrologer. And so he lists the charts of every country. So he doesn't have a time chart for Haiti, but he says after being colonized by Spain, Haiti was ceded to France in 1697. Pressure for independence first came from the escaped slaves. On the 14th of August, 1791, a slave rebellion began that was to lead to independence for the whole state. Full de jure independence was gained on January 1st, 1804, when the Act of Independence was signed at Gonaives, G-O-N-A-I-V-E-S. So if you look at the chart for January 1st, 1804, which is when Haiti signed its Act of Independence from France, you'll look and you'll notice it's having its Saturn return. And its Saturn is at 3 Libra, which is the degree that Saturn stationed at the day before the eclipse and the Mercury station. And you'll also notice that Mars in the chart is at 3 Capricorn, which is receiving the impact of Pluto transiting in the sky. And the transiting Mars retrograde at 15 Leo is in the country's south node of loss. And that the transiting Neptune Chiron, remember Jupiter's kind of gone ahead a little bit, but Neptune and Chiron are still back there in the late Aquarius. They're square to the 25 Scorpio Neptune. So it kind of, if you think about, like every difficult planet is having some kind of aspect to Haiti's chart, and those planets really do describe, Saturn on Saturn, the collapse of the structures, Mars, kind of the sudden attack to the death and the sudden changes in life. Mars on the south node, which is a loss, and it's also on the world axis, so the whole world is really tuned into this, and that the Neptune Chiron square, Neptune and Chiron in Aquarius, the wounding of the people, Chiron, this is the wound, and Neptune is, and also the lack of water, square to the 25-degree Scorpio-Neptune, which, of course, is the voodoo practices as well as the religious practices. And Heather was saying earlier, what, you wanted to say that piece you said about the magical rites that they do there?
Well, this is a country that has more context for of working with life and death, that they've had so much practice, they've been through such death, but their spiritual practice, you know, the idea in Vodun that there is another world, the invisible world is as important as the visible world, and when we're born, we step from the invisible into the visible world, and when we die, we step from the visible to the invisible, and that our ancestors and relatives are intermediaries and are waiting for us just on the other side. So this culture has more of a spiritual context that they live with on a daily basis, or the ones that are practicing Vodun, from what I understand, that's still quite a lot of them, of how to work with life and death and this issue. And I just feel that they have taken so much of the karma of the world right now, and as we do anything we can to help them heal this, we are also healing a part of the global soul in the process. When I look at their chart with Pluto sitting right on their natal Mars, you know, the chart that I'm looking at for that January 1st, 1804, for midnight in Haiti, as they were born at the moment the year turned, legally, I believe, just like New York was born on the January 1st, different year, at midnight, that Pluto sitting right on in the third house, hitting, going over the very root and fundament of the chart, and it's heading into the IC, and it's often deep structural reorganization and really dealing with the death and dealing with the pain. Pluto aspecting Mars is one of the toughest transits any of us can go through. And Pluto conjuncting Mars in the third house, it really is the death of the old neighborhood. But that feels like what they need most to address. It is a chance to rebuild at that deep level. You know, if this was a client of mine, this country, Haiti, you know, we would talk about how do you really break down the old foundations that aren't working for you and really begin in the face of life and death, you know, because you've seen, you know, asked, why are you here? How do you rebuild down at that deepest level? I see that, and not only is Pluto on that, on their Chiron-Mars conjunction, but their progressed moon, if we use this time, is about to conjunct Pluto, and in the next 7 months. So it talks about how we won't really even know that we'll be facing this this death of the country, and a chance to really begin to be reborn won't happen for another 7 months until the progressed moon gets on the other side of that Pluto. We'll have 7 months dealing with it, which New Yorkers remember the feeling when we were inhaling the smell of death and burning bodies for 7 months after 9/11. Mm-hmm. And this is along the same line, that they will be dealing with this and uncovering this for the next 7 months. We have Saturn coming across the ascendant in the chart, though Saturn's getting out of the 12th and moving into the 1st. It is a chance for the Haitians to begin to rebuild and take their power back in their own way with more help from the outside world. And I think the rest of the world owes, there's so much karma that has to be, that we have to heal as other countries around Haiti and what happened in the Haitian history. And I think this is a good chance for them to do that as well. I think it's going to be a while. We all predicted with the Saturn-Uranus-Pluto T-square this year and next, that the number of earthquakes is going to increase, and I think it will continue to increase. I gather it was a 0.4 in Oklahoma a few days ago. and that it will just continue, that it is not necessarily increased, but the earth is moving and shaking. She's shifting gears.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good time not to be hanging out on a fault line.
Right, so if you're living on a fault line, move somewhere else, right? Yeah.
Consider it,
Consider it,
if there's lots of little, and again, it feels like that's the key. If there's lots of small earthquakes, then the tension doesn't have to build up for the big one. But it had been 200 years in Haiti.
Right.
And we think of our own life. When you look at, if you see someone that's been changing on a regular basis in their life, and they hit a Uranus-Pluto aspect, you know, it just continues the change, and they're doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
But they know how to do it. If they haven't moved at all or changed at all for two decades, it may feel like their life is being ripped apart.
Yeah.
So this is a time to stay light on our feet and say, what does it need to be to evolve? What is the earthquake that I need to experience?
Mm-hmm.
And how can I roll with it rather than resist it? Mark, what do you think on that?
Yeah, I think when you look overall at how this lines up, what's going on with the earthquake and this the massive devastation and injury and death, it's drawn the whole world's attention to the extreme poverty in Haiti for a long time now. And because it was such a destructive earthquake, largely because the structures that people were depending on were not to be depended on. They
right.
were put together poorly, and, you know, people have been living with much less than the rest of the world for a long, long time. And, you know, one of the things that's come out, I think there's been a fair amount of acknowledgement, not by everyone, but of how the United States played a huge role in creating that poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And in that sense, we should be among the first to step forward and help in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
Because we did create a whole lot of it in our response to their independence and the way they ran things. And we profited from that. So they've already paid us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like we're not really giving aid free. We're just, you know, paying back for the profits we brought out of there. And in fact, I mean, if you look in a lot of the T-shirts hanging in the closet, we'll say "Made in Haiti," you know,
mm-hmm.
Or somewhere. But you know, Haiti is one of them. I know I've seen those tags, and you have to wonder when you see them, what's the link here? And so this, you know, when you see this, I think there's very large acknowledgement in the world that going forward, that country needs a lot of help, and it needs it from people that have more. And I think that's going to happen. I think
mm-hmm.
you can
mm-hmm.
see that. Mm-hmm.
I think it's really interesting the when we look at the last eclipse, that it was conjunct Venus, and you know it's
you mean the one on Friday?
Yeah, the last
uh-huh.
eclipse. And you know we see that an eclipse doesn't that can resonate, you know, in the whole month around the eclipse. It's not just the moment of the eclipse, and this is a good example. That the eclipse, when it, and it was right near the Venus in Haiti's chart at 28 degrees of
Capricorn.
It was within mm-hmm. 2 degrees. But the beautiful things that we're seeing, they may not be doing it well. They may be the difficulty in getting countries to coordinate together, that we don't have an infrastructure for everybody to work together at one, has been very made painfully clear, that we have a lot of people doing Venus here. A lot of money has been prepared for this. A lot of manpower, a lot of stuff is being sent over. It's and there was great difficulty on the ground. But it was the lack of coordination between all the people that made it so difficult to get it there where we needed it and when we needed it faster. And I'm hoping that this lineup, but that outpouring in a practical way was Venus and Capricorn, and that lineup on the Venus in the fourth house on Hades' chart. But what I'm hoping is that as to this week, the Sun and Venus head into Aquarius, that not only do we get our coordination together, because Aquarian can be good for that, for building those teams and working together, but that people start to say, well, how can we do this next time? If there's another disaster, how do we move faster together as a globe? How do, you know, the rapid response teams? America has been, our major governments have been prevented from stepping in because they cannot step over legal boundaries with the government. So they can't airlift people, Haitian citizens out without permission from Haiti. And so the, you know, the ships are sitting at sea with 1,000 beds waiting for people to be taken to them, but they can't take them, and there was only 9 the first day that they were sent out because the Haitian government hasn't been organized enough to say, start taking people out off our country and into yours. So some very interesting legal boundaries going on that have made it hard, but the non-governmental organizations have been able to just step over there, get in there, and do the work.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's,
well, that's
very
the nice part about NGOs,
yeah,
is they do have that flexibility.
Absolutely. You know, and hopefully the piece that this lineup and coming into Aquarius will help them work together. And so we ask that about our own lives, because one of the things about watching astrology play itself out in the news is we then look at them, not only can we help it and work with it, you know, work with the stars, not against them, constellate, but look at that metaphor in our own life. Where is my relationship to my community not working for me? How do I change my relationship to my community so I can be there for them faster and they can be there for me faster? And really do the Aquarian networking. That's when I see it, one of the issues that may be up in all of our lives this week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, the process of how do you coordinate, I think, is also...
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the Mars retrograde, that also kind of makes everybody do, not armed camp is the wrong word, but like my way is the right way, you know, so how do I do it if I'm not doing it your way? You know, I want to do it my way. And so we can get lost in that part. But I have to say, I've been pretty impressed with the level of cooperation that seems to be going on. So,
yeah,
you know, it seems to be like people are going, okay, let's,
it's,
you know, we really,
picking up.
Yeah, we really need to get this kind of covered, or, you know, we're facing critical mass. And once, you know, the bodies start to really rot, no pun intended for, or no grossness intended for our people that are more sensitive, but that's when the disease energies really pick up. So,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm,
and they are apparently doing, you know, trying to bury people
mm-hmm,
quickly. Which, of course, will be
that's
closure perfect issues for people who lost their families. But
yeah,
in this kind of disaster, there really isn't any, you know, there really isn't anything
mm-hmm
you can do. But keep try and keep the disease vectors down before they take off. So it's kind of, you know, it's a very, you know, I always look at these eclipses, you know, I know, you know, I watch them in my own life and I watch them in clients' lives. And one of the things you really are aware of is they represent major turning points for people, major
mm-hmm
opportunities for figuring where you're going and what you're doing. And then there's this enormous energy of, you know, just being aware of 100,000 people just left the planet. You know, they just kind of said, bye-bye, we're out of here. And I
yeah
think that kind of... that kind of loss, you know, the families and the children and the, you know, the loss of your loved ones, you know, the concept of what that feels like. And I, you know, with Jupiter going into Pisces this week and then Venus going into Aquarius and Sun going into Aquarius, it makes you aware of we really are kind of connected. And in that connection,
mm-hmm,
there's an understanding of, well, if it happened to you, you know, it could happen to me. And I have to say, the people that are going, well, you know, they believe in the devil and they, you know, the voodoo, and it's like, you know, it's their religion. You know, that's what they believe. You believe in your belief. They believe in their belief. But it's the blaming thing. Just really, I've been especially sensitive to it. You know, and then with the whole late night thing, I just am stunned by the envy. You know, like these people talking and just how envious they are. You know, and I recognize there's the mad kind of comedians and then there's the depressed kind of comedians. But the mad kind of comedians, it's really mean. It's very mean-spirited. It's very attack, nasty kind of stuff. So so you see this humanitarian part, and then you see this other thing, which is kind of like a, you know, a bunch of guys fighting over, you know, half an hour of TV time. It makes me kind of go, okay, well.
And it seems pretty silly
in the face of all this loss.
Well, I think that's part, you know, again, not only did Mercury turn direct last weekend, but it turned direct conjunct Pluto.
Right. And square Saturn.
And square Saturn. And we're still thinking of that very heavily. And somehow comments on the Golden Globe dresses kind of fell short when thinking of.
Right. Don't step on my train. It's like, you know.
But it's the same in a pettier way. You know, Mercury Pluto's conjunction can make us depressed. It can find the missing pieces. We were just dealing with plumbing underneath the house, which is another Plutonian thing. But but also the fighting over, you know, territory as if there's only a few minutes and I have to fight over that rather than grow it and expand what is. And that I should feel sorry for someone who's making so much money on late night TV. That kind of that mindset, that smallness, is you know, we can either respond to that Mercury Pluto conjunction with compassion, with rethinking our priorities, or with getting small and mean. And we're seeing some of those.
We're seeing, you know, both. I see it. You know, the higher and the lower forms.
I saw it myself when I was laughing at the eBay voodoo doll of Rush Limbaugh and Pat Robertson that are going for, you know, to raise money for Red Cross, and it's going for a couple hundred dollars now. It had to crack me up, and I was like that. Even if I find it funny, I think it's my small side that's finding it funny, but it was funny.
Yeah. Well, that's like back when Newt Gingrich was around, one of my friends mailed me, you know, a Newt Gingrich doll, and he had a contract on America in his pocket, you know. It was filled with catnip, and I have to say, that was one of my favorite cat toys. watching Homer carry it in his mouth and shake it, you know, I loved it, you know. And then I thought, oh, that's so mean, Anne, but it appealed. I have to say.
Well, we can forgive ourselves that once in a while, but what did the we have one question that was called in or written in, and we want to talk a little bit more about what's going on for the week ahead, and then shall we give out the phone number so that people can begin to think about calling in?
Sure, 347-215-8881 if you want to call in with your question. 347-215-8881. You can always write us your question, because this week Alice wrote us a question. So Heather, you want to read the email?
Okay. I will give you parts of it. She asked about a health issue around fibroids and around family. It's like what she's going into surgery tomorrow morning, so we send her prayers of healing and love, and she wants to know, what do we see about how the emotional issues were held in the body, and how can she heal this? And Alice is November 2266 at 5:55 p.m. in Philadelphia, for those that are following along. And I want to say, my father, the mathematician, would love the poetry of your birth date, 11/22/66 at 5:55 p.m. Beautiful. But we see that your sun is at 0 Sag, conjunct Venus at 3. Your moon is at, you have the same sun-moon combination as Tina Turner with that Sag moon in Aries. and I think Lou Rawls too, and with a Gemini rising, but that 2 degrees Aries moon, and with a lineup in the fourth house, we talk about early home life and how she holds that in her body. She has Pluto, Uranus, and Mars all conjunct in Virgo in the fourth house. And, you know, we know that Pluto and Uranus conjunct in Virgo was the defining issue of the mid-60s as it broke down the old culture. And that issue was up again as Pluto and Uranus move into a square over the next years. How do we, you know, really investigate and then break down the old and break into something better rather than just keep breaking down and deconstructing? But at that moment, it was conjunct Mars, and that intensified that aspect. And she had it in her house of early home life. And we opposed Saturn, quite intense. So she is the issues that the world is dealing with right now echoed in her chart when she was born. And we have Pluto been going back and forth squaring her moon, and where she seems to be holding all those issues in her body. She says it runs in the female lineage of her family. So all of the issues around the moon and around the mother and around the capacity to become a mother are related to that Pluto squaring her moon, going in for surgery in the morning. She also has her south node in Scorpio. So where in the south node tends to talk about the body part that we hold stress, mm-hmm. And where we hold karma, and hers is in the reproductive organs. So we have a series of pieces that are lining up around this. It feels like how she handles stress is one of the key issues, and that also throws the estrogen-progesterone balance off and can make you more prone to fibroids. What do you see, Anne, in this?
Well, that early bunch of, you know, each degree of the zodiac has, I speak as a uterine fibroid owner myself. I own one, I don't know, I guess, or one's in me. The early degrees of Scorpio is the uterus. So, you know, we see that she's got planets there. And we also have that Mercury on the south node indicating it is a hereditary condition. Mm-hmm. And she got it from the mama, mother's mm-hmm. line with the Mars as the ruler, and Pluto is the ruler of that Scorpio, and also a little level of hormonal imbalance with the Uranus. So I would imagine that she has the pedicle kind, which are the ones that wave around and cause much more trouble than the kind I have, which is the kind that lives in the wall and just kind of hangs out. So they're probably pretty gnarly. And actually with Uranus opposite her Uranus natally, by transit, right now Uranus is in Pisces on her Saturn, opposite the Uranus and the Mars, she's having them removed. Chop, chop. Uranus is separating from things that wave around inside of her. Because there's a bunch, you know, for those of you who don't know about uterine fibroids, there's different kinds. There's kinds that wave around like kind of fingers, for lack of a better word, or those, you know, in the movies when you're underwater and the little anemones move. Then there's ones that are kind of lumpy, that are in your wall. Then there's ones that kind of hang on the outside. You know, they're not in the uterus, they're on the outside. So there's all different kinds. And I would bet she's got the pedicle kind that wave around and cause trouble and jump and do all kinds of weird things. And she's got Uranus opposite Uranus and the Mars, so she's getting them chopped off, which is great. And Uranus to Saturn is also, you know, an ending. So that's I think this should actually take care of him, and he doesn't go back to Saturn again, so that's a good sign. And On a level of why, you know, when we look at the, you know, a lot of people, when you do astrology of health, people start going, you know, I somehow caused it, I'm a bad person. And it's like, no, the chart shows where we hold our tension and where we hold our problems. And it shows you the weakest part of your body, which is your Saturn-Neptune midpoint. And it shows you the strong parts of your body where you have gifts. So the old astrologers, Hippocrates on up, all the old doctors were astrologers. You were a bad doctor if you were a bad astrologer, because they didn't have MRI machines. They didn't have x-rays. They'd look at the planet and they'd cast a chart for when you took to your bed and figure out what was going on inside of you. So we don't actually cause the disease, but what the disease can do is it can be shown in our body where our body tends to be weak, or where the part of the organism is that can have a little excitement. So she's essentially having the '60s in her uterus. She's having the civil rights movement, the women's movement, and, you know, in 1969 it was the gay pride movement. So she's having rebellion, and she's taking care of it, which I think is very cool. And I think it's a really good thing. And it also is a sextile to Neptune, so fingers crossed everything goes away and doesn't come back. So,
Mark, do you have any comments?
Well, the thing I noticed right away in the sixth house for her is the Neptune conjunct Sun. And that can be a difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's a difficulty for health, and it makes it actually sort of hard to answer exactly the question that she asked. You know, where did this come from, and you know, that sense of what am I to learn from it, and because there is a kind of unclearness and a something nebulous about what it means for her and who she is. And at the same time, it is an opportunity to explore exactly that. It's just that she has to do that without a roadmap and really get it on a very intuitive level. And that's why it's there, is
mm-hmm.
to help her tune in really through that Neptune to who she is. And whenever we try to use a Neptune-Sun conjunction to find out who we are, we have that level of confusion. There's just fog all around our journey. It's kind of like, you know, those Chinese paintings with all the fog in the mountains. It's like your trail is a lot like that. You just get glimpses of the trail ahead, and then it's covered again. And so we have that. But at the same time, there's a very strong spiritual sense to what this life is about for this person. And that Neptune being at the South Node, along with Mercury, gives an indication that she can learn that. She can pick that up. But the place to go to answer these questions really is to an inner vision. And that's going to show her, you know, why the fibroids came to her and what she's going to learn about herself through simply taking the actions that need to be taken and doing the healing that needs to be done, because the surgery is part of the healing. It's not the healing, though. You know, it leads to the healing. It's a removal of something that is best gone. And then from there, the healing takes place. So as she moves into the further healing process, doing that inner visualization of who she is and what her path is and
mm-hmm.
how the fibroids relate to it, that'll line up.
Mm-hmm.
And another reason that that's meant to happen that way is that Pluto-Uranus-Mars conjunction in the fourth house, which it was pointed out earlier how that goes back to family roots. But those line up in a helpful way to the planets in the house of health, the sixth house, the Sun
right.
and Neptune. And it's an interesting combination, Pluto, Uranus, and Mars, especially when you think of surgery and when you
mm-hmm.
see that Scorpio rules the sixth house of health in
mm-hmm.
this chart. And so both of the rulers of Scorpio, Mars and Pluto, are joined in the fourth house, and they're joined
and
by Uranus.
And being opposed by Uranus right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're being opposed by Uranus right now, yeah. So Uranus is a big part of this.
Mm-hmm.
And Uranus has to do with our insistence on knowing who we are in a unique way
right.
and expressing in a unique way who we are. So I would encourage her to let this really be a unique opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at it as
yep.
something that's come to her, and you know, how she goes through this process is going to be different from how other people in her family might, other
mm-hmm.
people in her various circles might. and let it be her journey.
Yes.
And, you know, this may really then, that can be the opportunity that it opens up, that sense that, oh, I'm on a journey.
And
it's kind of a ticket to the next phase. Mm-hmm.
I so agree, and I think you've hit some very key pieces there, that conflict between these super outgoing, positive, outward-looking Sagittarius Sun and Venus and trining her Moon and Aries is so different from that deeply introspective, inward-looking and tending to hold within her Mercury-Neptune conjunction in Scorpio.
And tending to hold on to.
And that, yeah, that there's one side of her that's very outgoing and another part that she really keeps to herself and she needs to find a voice for. And I know as a moon and as a fellow Moon in Aries that, you know, Moon in Aries hate to need anybody. They hate it. And, so often the universe strong arms them into accepting help on a regular basis. So they keep that flow going. And especially in her childhood, it looks like that to need somebody with that lineup in her fourth house was really not safe. Was really not safe for her to speak up. It was really not safe for her to need because the strength around her vacillated. And also another element about the Moon in Aries, their mother tends to either meet their needs before they even speak them or not meet them at all. And rarely does the mother say, okay, dear, you're hungry, I cannot feed you now, but I will in 10 minutes, and then 10 minutes later actually feeds the child. It's either here's the food or get it yourself, you know, without really negotiating and helping the person build that pattern up of needings, of, you know, deferred needs that are actually met and you can trust them. So I think that there is, you know, there's something that she may be healing about needing people during this process, about accepting help, about being mothered by the system around her in a way that can heal some old wounds and help her disidentify from the tradition that her body's holding. That, you know, that was how the women in her life have been. And every time she heals herself, she can identify with some of their brilliance, because it looks like the women in her family were brilliant, but they didn't know how to do it in a stable way. That how can she manifest the independence and that brilliance, but do it in a healthier and more stable way, and not need her body to listen to what she needs before her body strong arms into her into admitting it. So anything where she can learn to listen to the subtle messages of the mind-body system and honor them early on, that will help her handle stress, which is another thing that seems essential. And anything that helps her handle stress, and that could be alternative healing methods, energy work, yoga, anything that helps her handle stress will help her healing in this process and letting the shift happen in the very fundamental regions. I see that the eclipse last week, like Haiti, her progressed Venus is at 27 degrees of Capricorn. So last week's eclipse conjunct Venus hit her progressed Venus in her eighth house, which rules the reproductive organs. So I keep, you know, this does feel like such a healing moment for her to really let herself take in some of the love and the care, to love herself and take care of herself, to mother herself the way she wished she was mothered, not the way she was. And do we have anybody on the line?
We do indeed, and we have 20 minutes left.
Okay, let's go for it.
Let's try in 509. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, 509. How are you?
Hi. I'm very well, thank you. So what a nice surprise. So shall I give you my birth info while I ask my question?
Yep.
October 1, 1953, Philadelphia, PA, 1:38 a.m.
Okay, and your question?
Well, gosh, I'm half packed. I thought I was moving. I'm into a new relationship, into another state, back to my family, and now the relationship is not going to work out. And so I'm sort of half-packed and looking for clues.
And where were you going?
I was going to Florida, back to near where I grew up. I'm living now in Spokane, and I moved to Spokane from Northern California. So I'm leaning more towards going to Northern California. If I did not have a 12-year-old dog, I'd probably just put everything in storage and, you know, go look around and see dear ones. But I can't make a casual move. So, and my work is growing and changing. I've been unemployed now for several months. So I know all kinds of changes on the horizon, but I would love any insight.
And when you say that you know that the relationship won't work out, when did it go south suddenly?
Last week. Well, you know, there had been clues that I'd been trying to work with, ignore, fix, you know, all that. But last week, about a week or so ago, I just realized that, you know, I sort of upped the ante and said, listen, if we're going to continue, this is what I'll need. And I literally haven't heard a verbal response, only email since then, and not many. And I'm pretty sure,
just what
I mean,
a cancer moon needs.
Sorry?
I said just what a cancer moon needs.
Right. But thank goodness I wasn't all the way across the, you know.
Absolutely.
There.
But sometimes people are what we call those express train relationships.
Yes,
they're designed
exactly.
to get you there and then they leave you off.
Yes,
but sometimes,
seemingly.
But their job is to get you there.
Yes.
You know,
got
and you have, yeah, you have your, you got, you're all packed and ready to go. We're just not going where you thought. You have a Moon-Uranus conjunction natally. So
yes.
The restlessness and issues of home and homelessness and fear of that, and that Moon-Uranus conjunction trines right into your Mercury-Neptune-Saturn conjunction in the third house, right? So you've got this, you know, wildly intuitive and logical nature. You've got a very good mind
mm-hmm.
that has both a very strong scientific side and a strong intuitive side.
Mm-hmm.
It squares, you know, but that airy, thoughtful, mind-oriented side tends to fight with the part of you that really could use some security.
Definitely.
And doesn't have it. Could really
right.
use, and it looks like there was some issues about home and mother at your birth. You know, this
yes.
is a chart I've seen in people who were either adopted or the family had to deal with something unexpected right before or right after the birth. Like, you know, so the
mm-hmm.
person walks into a family dealing with an adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, Uranus is at 23 degrees, so it is trining in to your natal moon, which is, you know, the time to move.
Mm-hmm.
And it's forming an inconjunct to your Mercury in Libra, so you're not sure which way you're moving.
So you got it.
And you're not supposed to know. You're just supposed mm-hmm. to take care of the dog. And go from there. You know, that's your focal point. He is actually literally your Saturn. He's your third house, your sixth house, pet. And if we look at him, we say, okay, the dog is the focus. And if you just kind of say, okay, let me kind of pay attention to that, and you'll figure it out. You've got Saturn at the back end of your second house in the Philly chart. So what that often says is, that there was a sense of putting down roots that's been going on for a while. And when Saturn comes to your sun next fall, you'll actually know where the roots are going to be. But the natal Saturn, you know, rules that sixth house. So the pet is actually a stabilizing influence. So, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, keep the dog in mind. The other thing is, I'm not 100% sure it's quite finished yet. I think it's in renegotiation.
Yeah.
Mars is right on your ascendant. You and Conan O'Brien are kind of going through the same thing.
Yeah,
thought you had it, and it kind of left.
And then,
it's retrograde.
You know, yeah.
It's retrograde on your ascendant. So let's wait until March 10th and see what happens then, because it's going to station on your node and say, okay, I'm ready now really to go forward. So I'm not going to say, you know, don't move, but I would say,
mm-hmm.
'cause you are all packed. It's a pain in the butt to live out of luggage. But I would say, you know, what is the... you know, the underlying purpose of this, you know, the universe putting the brakes on and saying, whoa, 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 not so fast. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what happened. And the Mercury square to your sun, when your sun actually said what it needed, the communication stopped. But Mercury right now is in his shadow in the fifth house of love affairs. So I'm like, you know, and you also have Mercury Neptune, so it's a little hard sometimes for you to say what you need or want, because mm-hmm. you weren't really encouraged to do it when you were a little person.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's also part of what this learning is for you to do, is to say, you know, what I actually need is this.
Mm-hmm.
Is this something you can do? And then, you know, I've spent a lot of money in therapy learning, don't listen to what they say, look at what they do.
Yes.
And that's one of the lessons that your chart has, too.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever they say is great, but watch the behavior, because that's
exactly
where the money is. That's where you know how they're actually showing up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But
and
I don't think
does,
you're done yet. I don't know that you're done yet. I think, you know, think of it as the eclipse. It brought everything to light. It squared your Saturn. It brought all your Saturn issues up. The eclipse was in your sixth house saying, okay, I thought I was restructuring my life near enough to that north node to kind of make it wiggle a little, but definitely square to your Saturn-Mercury. So whatever the conversation was that you had with partner, that was a conversation that your soul needed
exactly
to have. And that's what it was for.
Mm-hmm.
It's irrelevant, their reaction. You needed to say it. And the bravery mm-hmm. it took to say it, I think you should give yourself a round of applause and be very kind to yourself that, okay, I finally did say it, and, geez, it didn't look like it went well, but you know what? Next time I'll say it sooner, or next time I'll trust my instincts to believe what I'm being told on some level in a better way. And, you know, life's
exactly
a long learning process. You know, it's not ever – you never get – you know, and once you figure out one thing, they send you something else, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you learn to talk. You learn to talk
yes
on this one, and that's a gift.
Mm-hmm.
You learn to ask for what you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mark, what do you think? We like to get the guys in on this one, you know, because
yes,
the guys
please
always know what's really going on. Mark?
Yeah. Well, you have in Virgo there, the Mars-Venus conjunction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's one that you have something to learn from all the time, you know, in terms of especially communicating with a partner.
Yeah.
You know, it's because you're trying to balance both the masculine and the feminine.
Mm-hmm.
And both of those planets are not in signs that they operate real strongly in. They tend to be sort of hypercritical and focused on details. And you'll tend to send a mixed message all the time. It's all about what I want, and it's all about what I want for you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you're trying to do both at once. And what you want to do now is, as you listen to the communication that you brought out, that, as Anne said, you really needed to do that, and that's what you came out with, listen to it for yourself. So first you gave it to your partner,
mm-hmm.
you know. And now really sort of take it in and listen and say, you know, what is it that I really want? And with your Neptune, Mercury, and Saturn as well, that just is a difficult thing. It's hard for you to know how your communication is going to be received.
Mm-hmm.
And so take this as an opportunity to really know how it is you communicate and how someone else takes that.
Mm-hmm.
And not in order to even change it. It's just to note it and
mm-hmm.
realize that is me. You know, I just gave a message that really came from me, that this was important. This was everything I needed to say.
Mm-hmm.
And now let me hear it for me. You
hear
it
as though I was saying it to myself.
Yeah, exactly. Because you put it out there for him to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in some ways, he didn't really tell you how he heard it, it sounds like.
No, he didn't hear it. He let me know that he didn't hear, you know.
What was
right
his birth information? While Mark's talking, just do you know when
birth?
He was born?
Yeah, 9/3/53.
Okay, go ahead.
Uh huh. So he's got Venus and Mars conjunct. Yeah.
You know, now take that same communication, and you know, let it come to you.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of it sort of went into a void.
Yes.
Let that be. You know, don't worry about that. But pick it up yourself.
Okay.
Because there are very big, important messages in there of exactly what it is you need to communicate to not just this partner, but any partner. And
right.
When you really hear that well, then that'll set you up to link up to the next partner in a way that's your starting point.
Exactly.
You don't have to, you know. Yeah.
It really did seem like that. Something big shifted, like I'm not going to have to repeat this pattern. But I love this idea of listening to it myself because it's, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Also,
the other thing
one of the things
with him is I would also, if you get a chance to talk to him, remember his Virgo stuff's going to hear things critically. You know, he's going to hear it as criticism. And he's got a moon Uranus, same as you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you both have that moon Uranus where the moon is going to have an emotional reaction, and then it's going to do Uranus stuff and almost interrupt the feeling, interrupt the thing. So I find with people with this configuration is to say, okay, so, like, what'd you hear me say?
Mm-hmm.
And get them to tell you what they heard you say. And then you go, yeah, right. Or then you hear what they actually heard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had somebody that I would say something to, and it would always go to, well, you know, you're going to, and I'd be like, no, that's not what I said. You
mm-hmm.
know, like
mm-hmm.
I didn't, I mean, but I'm a Virgo, so they heard it as criticism.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, part of it is that you want to also say, well, what did you hear me say? Because he does have Venus on your Juno. This is a very, very old connection for you. This is a
it's
very
literally old. Yeah. From
connection.
Junior high school. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, I
oh,
mean,
really
as far
beautiful.
As it was,
and
but
I say,
yeah,
you know, I look at, you've got, his sun is on your Mars. There's so many connections between your two charts.
Mm-hmm.
And you both have your moon in Cancer and the last eclipse in Capricorn opposing both of your moons. I just think there's a lot of space and kindness that both of you need right now.
Mm-hmm.
With your Venus and Mars in Virgo, your idea of affection, and as someone who has Venus and Mars in Virgo, I can sympathize, is to analyze. You analyze the ones you love. That's how you get intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of understand it. You express it. You want to talk it over. And your Virgo companion has his Venus and Mars in Leo.
Right.
He does not analyze. He analyzes for work. He does not analyze for love. He wants to be loved and adored.
Mm-hmm.
And can hear every bit and is so defensive, is so hard on himself,
mm-hmm.
and so defensive that he's really hard to speak to about it. But
mm-hmm.
I think there's a real fear that, you know, how you express affection is to try to understand things, and he wants to be loved and adored and appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's important that you spend, and with the moon in Cancer, both of you get into self-protection very quickly and withdraw. You go
mm-hmm.
Cancer sideways rather than continue to stick yourself out there and say, hey, honey, you know, how did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love you. I just need this. And I just want you to understand me and to really see his Venus and Mars and Leo. That does not mean you back off from what you need, but that he needs to feel loved in the process. And adored, like, I love this about you. Could you move that? I love this about you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, or he can't hear it.
And
now,
sometimes, when the
chart,
minute you open your mouth and any kind of criticism, he's going to shut down too, because that's how he handled his mother. And you have
mm-hmm.
the same kind of mothers, so you
mm-hmm.
both are going to trigger each other's mother stuff with each other
mm-hmm.
with that moon urine. You both, I mean, he's a guy born a month before you.
Right.
He's got the same aspects as you, same
mm-hmm.
lunar aspect, which is when you get into the emotional stuff, that little clicky thing gets going. and doom that Uranus kicks up and goes, okay, you know, the image I keep getting is like those little squids that squirt the dye out so they can escape. That's you know, kind of like, squirt the dye, run real quick. Doesn't mean he doesn't care. I think the guy is very enormous caring for you, and that you want to maybe watch for that. He is emailing you. He's not gone 100%. Mars is retrograde. You needed a good blowout. You broke up on a Mercury retrograde. Doesn't really necessarily mean you broke up. You broke up, but you know, it's Mercury retrograde. The story can change. So, well, we're going to suggest you put a hold on. It's over. It's done. And just say, it's having a pause, and we're resting right now. We'll see where it goes.
And what's really up? How can we make it more safe for each other to explore?
Yeah. Yeah.
Would I look at your chart in Florida, and actually it's pretty good for you. How did you feel about Florida without him?
Mixed feelings, to be
honest.
If
you were near, you'd be able to work this out a bit.
Yes, and near my mother, who finally, you know, I can have a, you know, a good relationship with after just, you know, for many years not, and then recently much better.
Good.
Okay, thank you so much. I'm so surprised because in my mind it really has been over.
Well, it's Mercury retrograde, babe. Nothing's over on Mercury retrograde. Even Conan's still working for NBC, you know?
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean it's not. It's just that it's not yet.
Yeah, we don't know.
There's so much, you know, you two actually are more brothers and sisters than you are necessarily great love. But I'd say you have a lot to learn from this next step, whether or not you get together, of learning to negotiate for your needs, but doing it, you know, to, as Mark was saying, but listening to how you communicate and to do it in a way that works.
Mm-hmm.
And so, slow, you know, going back over and just healing each other's wounds right now, and then not knowing where that's going to take you just yet.
And it looks like in my chart like the move isn't happening before March.
Well, you're moving right now. You're leaving where you were. You're just not necessarily going to feel settled for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But your progressed moon is crossing over your ascendant this month. So you're really coming into your own and coming into a more visible time and a place to be seen. And, you know, you're kind of coming out of your shell this month or next month as your progressed moon gets into your first house.
Yep.
Thank you so much, very much.
You are welcome. Yay.
Appreciate it.
It's posted.
I will, thank you so much.
We're all voting that it's not over, or at least I am. I don't know about Heather and Mark, but I'm voting
it's not. What a surprise. Okay, thank you.
Yay.
All right, thank you.
All right, so we only have 2 minutes left. We didn't really do what's going on in the sky this week, guys. And, you know, what are you going to do? Okay, quick, fast version. Moon is in Pisces, Monday, Tuesday. Void at 1:00 in the morning on Wednesday. Positive closing aspect. Long void moon, Monday till 1:30 in the afternoon. Moon goes into the Aries on Wednesday. On Tuesday, we had the long void moon. Wednesday afternoon, Thursday afternoon, Friday afternoon till 3:00. Nice closing aspect sextile, moon in Aries, good week to get a lot of stuff done. And then the moon goes into Taurus at 11:30 on Friday night. It's in Taurus Saturday and Sunday with, again, a nice closing aspect, giving you a great opportunity to get a lot of cool stuff done this week. And we're out of the eclipses, so the world should calm down a little, which is good.
Get moving. To network our buns off. Network, connect, communicate, start getting your teams together, go to a benefit, listen to some great music, and send money to Haiti, and in the process, get to know all the people that are doing things that you want to do, too.
Right.
Very important this week as the moon trine pattern.
Right. Mark, anything
so this
you
is
want
Heather
to
Rowan
say?
Robbins saying goodbye from North Dakota.
And Mark Wolf in Manhattan, New York City.
And Ann Ortley on the Upper East Side with a cat on my desk.
We are Access Astrology, and we'll be happy to speak with you next Monday, or you can send us an email, astronyc.com. So astronyc.com. And we'll talk to you soon.
Right. Have a great week, folks. Okay. Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye now.